Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bavakama Daf Yud Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur will begin 17 lines from the top of Daf Yud Ches. You will notice a diamond marking, and you'll also notice this is number 2, a continuation of the series of questions that we indicated in our previous shiur. On the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading, which reads, She'elas Rava, Rava's question, Chatzi Nezek Sros, the half payment for the damage caused by the flung pebbles. Migufo Mishalem o Mehalio Mishalem. Is payment made from the offending animal's body, from its own value, or is it paid, the half damage paid from the owner's, we'll call it bank account, from his personal wealth? The obvious difference being that if the payment is migufo, the payment then will have a cap on it. It will not exceed the value of the animal, the offending animal. So if you have an animal that's worth very little, and the damage that it caused is worth quite a bit, then the if the offending animal is worth, let us say, $100, and the damage that was caused was $1,000, the victim is not going to get nearly half his damages when the entire value of the offending animal was just 10% of the damage. However, if it's me'aliyah, then the victim will be able to get a full compensation of half the damages. The Gemara opens with the following, Boy Rava, Chatzi Nezek Tzuros Migufo Mishalem O Me'aliyo Mishalem. On the in the margin we have a starred note which reads as follows, Nira Lafia Nesnaiti. It appears, in my humble opinion, Shiesh Lahadgish, we should emphasize Masha Nira Poshut, that which might appear obvious to many of you, Shishelas Rava Hialiba de Chachomim. Rava's question is in accordance with the opinion of the Chachomim Shecholkin al Sumchis, that disagree with Sumchus, the Savri Tzuros Mishalim Chatzinezek, that the payment of Tzuros is a maximum of half damage. So that in the context of the opinion of the Rabbanan, we're asking this half damage payment, is it migufo, is it based on the value of the offending animal, or is it based on the offender's personal wealth? And the Gemara continues in presenting the analysis. And we've noted this as we often do. Aleph, Oy Dilma, Beis. The Oy Dilma, you can see a squiggle underline at the end of the next line, introducing the alternative Beis approach. So, Migufo Mishalim, do we say that the payment is based on the value of the offending animal and no more than that? Delo Ashkechon Chatzi Nezek de Mishalim Me'aliyo, because there's no precedent for half damage being paid me'aliyah from the offender's personal wealth. Now the precedent for half damages is most famous, is most well known in the case of goring, of keren. So that we know that keren, when it pays half damages, it will pay from migufo, from the animal's value, from the offending animal's value, not from the person's personal holdings. So as far as precedent is concerned for half damage payments, it's been migufo, o dilma, or possibly me'aliyah mishalem. Payment is made me'aliyah from the offender's personal wealth. De lo ashkichon ki urchei de mishalem migufei. We don't find damages in the urche fashion. Urche is kedarkoi, or the in regular course of animal behavior. In this case, as the animal is walking along, pebbles are flung out from underfoot. That's normal. It's not like the case of Karen, a goring animal, where the animal is behaving in an unusual, unnatural fashion. So as far as damages caused by kedarko, keurche, normal ways of animal behavior, we don't find them paying migufo, we find them paying from aliyah, from the offender's personal wealth. Shema. You'll notice a new marking on the side of the Gemara. The crown shape is viewed under the Mivneh heading, and this crown introduces Nisyonos, attempts, Lifshoit She'elas Rava, to answer Rava's question. So we have a source that says, Hidus Eino Muad. V'yeshomrim Hare Ze Muad. The first opinion says Hidus is not Muad, it's not expected for Hidus to take place. And Hidus, we've seen in the past, has to do with a chicken that jumps around from place to place. And the Yesh Omrim says that it is Muad. The Gemara says, Hidus Salka Daitoch. Do you mean Hidus in the simple sense? Why would the Tanakhama say it's not Muad? It's not expected for a chicken to jump around. That is very normal as far as chicken behavior is concerned. El olav, rather, what must be is hidus vehitiz, that the chicken was jumping around, and as it's jumping around, so pebbles were flung from underfoot. Uvaha komifligi. And the basis of this machlokus between the Tanakama and the Yesh Omrim, the first opinion and the second opinion, is as follows. Mandomer Enom Wood, he who describes the flung pebbles from underfoot of chicken dancing, is not Muad. What does that mean, not Muad? Kosovar Migufo Mishalim. That's a reflection of an opinion that says payment is from Gufo. And that means the half nezek payment will be based on the value of the offending animal, not from the owner's personal wealth. The Uman Yomar Muad, the Yesh Omrim, the second opinion, who describes this hidus, the hitis phenomenon as Muad, is Kosovar Me'aliyah Mishalim. He is of the opinion that payment is made from the offender's personal wealth. Well, if that's the case, then Rava's question would be a machlokes tanoim. The resolution is based on a Tanaya controversy. Lo. The Gemara says that's not what these tanoim are arguing about. But rather, bepluka desumchus v'rabonon komifligi. The machlokes, the controversy in this brief Tanaic source, is simply a reflection of the two opinions of Sumchus and the Rabbonan. Sumchus holds that sruros, that these flung pebbles are going to be called muad. That is the opinion of the Yesh Omrim. Payment is made in full. Full damage is payment. That's why since full damage made, we call it muad. And the Tanakama, Rabbonon, they will tell you that Tsuros pays half damages. Hence, it's considered eno muad. But as far as Rava's question is concerned, Rava's question was within the Rabbonon, as we mentioned in our early on in today's shiur, in the starred note on the side. So within the sheet of the Rabbonon, how is the Chatzi Nezek payment to be made? That remains unresolved at this point. Ta Shema. So we try again. And here we have a long marking to indicate how long this attempt lasts. It says as follows. Hakelev Shenotal Charora. A dog took a loaf. And this loaf, a baked loaf, was we'll say, burning hot. It was still, it had fire capacity to it. V'holach legodish, v'ochal acharor v'hidlik es hagodish. The dog took this hot loaf, went to a godesh. A godesh is a heap of grain. And it ate, the dog ate the loaf, and as we indicated, the loaf had part of it had, let's say, burning embers were part of this loaf, and it ignited the godesh. Al hachororo mishalem nezek shalem, regarding the consumption of the loaf, full payment will be made. Al hagodesh mishalem chatzi nezek, and for the destruction of the godesh, of the heap of grain, half payment is made. My taima, why is half payment made? Lav mishum dahavya lehu tzuros. This is viewed as a case of tzuros. V'toni Allah, and concerning this case, there is a source that says mishalem chatzi nezek migufo. And we add information to this source based on the Gemara later on, and we've written this between the lines. For Rebbe Loser Omer, Nezek Sholem Migufo. So you have two opinions. One you see in the Gemara printed text, and the second opinion, that which is written in between the lines. The first opinion saying half payment is made Migufo, from the value of the offending animal, and Rebbe Loser says full value is paid, but from the value of the offending animal. Based on the value of the offending animal, full payment will be made. We didn't explain in detail why the godish chatzi nezek is viewed as tzuros. So Rashi points out in Dibur Masel Va'al Acharora Nezek Shalem Dainu Shein. Rashi, you could see, is a little less than halfway down. The loaf one would pay full damage because that's simple Shein, animal eating food. And for animal eating food, full damage is paid. Vadlokas Godesh Havitzuros, the igniting of the heap of grain is called Tzuros Di Eino Elo Kechei. It's a function of the force exerted by the animal. Shehu meiniach kana gecheles. He places the gecheles, the coal that was attached to the bread, to the loaf. He places it down at a particular point over here. And the fire continues burning to another location, consuming all of the grains. The Chomas Nisan Heba Pirkan. This is a Tanaic source in our Perek. Now we turn back to the Gemara with a Tanaic source in which you see Chatzi Nezek Migufo. That's why you'll notice in our Gemara markings we've dashed underlined Migufo. So this would be an answer to Rava's question: Chatzi Nezek of Tzuros. How is it paid? It's paid Migufo. The Gemara now continues. We have a new marking that we should introduce on the side, the volcano shape, ma'akav. This is an attempt to keep track of a give and take in the Gemara. Nisayon lefshot demigufo mishalim, with the narrow part of this volcano shape facing upwards. This is an attempt to demonstrate, to prove that the chatzitzik is paid migufo. The inverted marking, the inverted volcano shape, dechia, a rejection of whatever we were trying to say. So here, the Gemara challenges the analysis. V'tizbera, l'Rebbe Lazar, nezek sholei migufe mi ashkechan. We had written this in between the lines, but you can see how essential it was to see that, the opinion of Rebbe Lazar. Rebbe Lazar says that full payment is made, but it's made migufo, based on the animal's value, the offending animal's value, and not more. And we say that's a very unusual stance. It says, "Mi ashkechon, do we find full payment made migufe?" Ela kagon. So what we have to say is kagon deshoni beha begacheles. And here we've dashed underline a key word. Deshoni means something unusual took place over here regarding the gacheles, the coal that was attached to the bread. So that at this point, our question, which involved tsuros, Rava's question involved tsuros. Tsuros was keurche, was a normal event, normal form of damage. Damage happening in the normal course of living, the normal course of events. But once you say this, the shani, we're already off our original topic, the original analysis of the question, that the Rava's question. So, what happened then? Ela kigon dishoni b'hal begacheles. Something unusual happened here with regard to the gacheles. Rabbi Elazar savalok Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Elazar, who said that full damage is paid, holds like Rabbi Tarfon, the Omer Mishuna Karen b'chotzer hanizik nezik shalei mishalei. Rabbi Elazar adopts the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon that when you're dealing with Mishuna, Mishuna damage is done in an unusual fashion, under unusual circumstances, like goring. What's Rabbi Tarfon's opinion? We've seen this in the past as well, that goring in the domain of the victim results in, according to Rabbi Tarfon, full damages. So that, as we said, we're not dealing with the case that Rava was dealing with. We're dealing with something that's mishuneh, something unusual. The Gemara responds, though, Velohi, that can't be. My time amuk misla karebi tarfin. Why did you try to say that Rabbi Elazar is an opinion based on Rabbi Tarfon? Mishum nezek shalem, because of Rabbi Elazar's reference to nezek shalem, to full damage payment. Rabbi Elazar, who said full damage migufo, is not based on Rabbi Tarfon, who was speaking about that which was unusual. Rather, Rabbi Elazar's Aleph, there are 2 points that are made to explain Rabbi Elazar. Aleph, first point. Rabbi Elazar is Savar Kesumchus Domar Tzuros Nezik Shalei Mishalei. Rabbi Elazar holds like Sumchus, that full payment is made in the case of Tzuros. And the second point, Vesavar Lok Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Elazar also holds like Rabbi Yehuda Domar, that Rabbi Yehuda says that when you have a full damage payment as a result of, let us say, a goring that takes place 3 times, Rabbi Elazar adopts Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that says, Tzad tamus b'mekayma imenes, that when you pay full damage as a result of a case of Karen that became what? Half of the damage is limited to the value of the offending animal. In other words, the victim will not necessarily get an absolute full compensation for the damage that took place, even though the animal has to pay full damages. Because half of the bill, half of the damage bill, is migufo. That's tzad tamus, the aspect of tam. That's the aspect of an animal before it became muad. That aspect of payment remains even when full payment is made. V'chi katoni migufo, and Rabbi Elazar's reference to the full damages migufo is a atzatamus. It's a reference to half of the bill, the tam aspect. Half of it being paid from gufa, from the value of the offending animal, and not from the person's personal wealth, and not from the aliyah. Well, if you were to stop at this point, then the conclusion of the Gemara would be that Sruros, in fact, pays migufo. The chatzi nezik of Sruros that Rava was asking about would be migufo. However, we're not stopping here. The inverted volcano appears, indicating we're not going to conclude the tsuros migufo mishalem issue. Omar le Rav Samo bre Rav Ashi le Ravina. Rav Samo reacts to what the Gemara just said, indicating the idea that Rebbe Lozer holds, like Rebbe Yehuda, that Tzad Tamus Ben Koymai Medes, says that has no relevance to our issue. Amor Deshamis Le Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Yehuda spoke about the Tzad Tamus Ben Koymai Medes. That's in a case of an animal that started out as Betam Vinasemuad, an animal that had been behaving in an unusual fashion, goring three times, and then establishing itself as a muad, so that when the fourth goring takes place, we say that the full payment made at that point is comprised of half migufo and the other half mealia. However, the Machlokas Rebbe Lozer and the Tanakama that we discussed above had to do with damage that took place in a normal fashion. Bemuad mitchiloso. However, something like Tsruros, which is muad from the outset, it's normal. It didn't metamorphosize into something from abnormal to normal. It started off as being normal. The Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis. Mi Shamis Lei? Did we ever hear Rabbi Yehuda to say in a case like that that half of the damages would be paid migufo? So to try to explain the migufo payment regarding the Tzad Tamus Ben Mekoy Medes does not work. Notice the volcano repositions itself. Ella, ki ka'amar Rebbe Lozer nezek shalem. Rebbe Lozer, who spoke about the nezek shalem payment, is kagon de ayayed. It went through a process of becoming mu'ad. Now, as far as what that means, there are two explanations found in the Rashi. Let us look at the Rashi together. And Rashi starts on the third line from the top. If you want to feature the opinion of the Tanakam and Rebbe Lozer in the context of normal tzros, ulemivshit bayad the rava of the migufo mishalem, and to answer Rava's question that the payment would be made, in fact, mi gufo, tzuros would be mi gufo, lo sukma b'tzuros techad zimna v'chi urche, don't set it up as a case of a one-time normal tzuros, dimkein de Rebbe Lozer lo mishkachas lo, then if you say that, you won't have a reasonable explanation for Rebbe Lozer. Ella, rather, what happened? B'dishoni b'tzuros v'yayet shlosha zimni behochi. The animal was behaving in an unusual fashion, and in the course of its unusual behavior, pebbles were cast out from under it, rendering damage. But this unusual behavior happened three times. Dehoder havelei ki'urche. At that point, it's then called urche. It's normal behavior. V'amri Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan nevertheless say, chasi nezek kishar tzuros, demuadim mitchilasan, half payment will be made like regular tzuros that are muad from the outset. V'afilu hachi chasi nezek v'sulo, and even though it's repeated this behavior three times, upon the fourth damage, only half payment will be made and not more. Hai nami deshoni v'ayayin lo chomer mimuad mitchilaso. The case of the unusual behavior three times and repeating itself three times is not going to be any more stringent than the tzuros of that happens as a result of normal circumstances from the outset. The ein adol tzuros shishin bahen, and the concept of becoming muad with regard to tzuros that took place in an unusual fashion, well, it doesn't become mu'ad according to the Tanakama, and remains chatzi nezek. Umidekotoni migufo, from the fact that the source said that the payment is going to be made migufo, amatsuros kiurche nami migufo. We are able to conclude that suros of a normal fashion from the that which is normal from the outset also pays migufo. And with that, we would be answering Rava's question. And what about Rebbe Elazar? Rebbe Elazar, sovar tsuros kiurchayu, tsuros of a normal fashion, krabonet b'liyasumchus. The Rebbe Elazar would rule like the Rabbanan. The Shani Vayayed, however, where tsuros took place in an unusual fashion, repeated itself three times, and then became what? Nafkum, he told it to Regel. Venasek told it to Karen. It leaves the realm of Regel, of damage done in the normal, we'll say, foot-related fashion. And the fact that these tsuros were done in an unusual fashion puts it into the category of Karen. And since it becomes part of the Karen family, a derivative of Karen, the concept of transformation from Tam to Muad is relevant, and it becomes Muad paying full damage. Hachatzi migufo, half will be based on the animal's value. The Tzad Tam is becoming Menes, the Tam aspect remains even when full damage is paid. V'chatzi min aliyah, on the other half, to account for the eventual full payment, is the other half is made from the offender's bank account. Rashi has a second approach, a second lashon. We'll just make brief reference to it. Lishnachrina ela b'dayayed. The comment made in the Gemara on the top line, that when did Rebbe Elazar say Nezek Shalem, it's the Yayayit. What's the case? Mitzuros Kiurche Tlosa Zimni. It was actually normal Tsuros, but repeated three times. Ubaha Pligi, Rebbe Elazar Sover Yesh Ha'adol Tsuros, Kishar Chatzin Nezikin, Sheboyne Adol, the Klau Nezek Shalem. When a half payment type damage takes place, repeated three times, it then transforms into full damage payment. Hi, Nami, Shetchilos Chatzin Nezik, Kiaya Etalos Zim Nishan Nezik Shalem. The Tsuros, which also is a half damage payment, when repeated three times, will pay full damages. Umigufo, the Migufo reference Atzad Tamus. That's a reference to the original half payment that would have been paid, that would have resulted in paying half damages, and again, that would prove that the Chatzi Nezik is Migufo. Let's turn back to the Gemara. On the top line, Eloki Komer Rebbe Elazar, Nezek Shalem. Rebbe Elazar's reference to Nezek Shalem was Kigon Dayayet, that the Tsuros was repeated three times, and according to the first Lashon of Rashi, we're dealing with a case of Tsuros in an unusual fashion that repeated itself three times, making it Muad. Ubehol Komifligi, and the Machlokis between the Chachomim and Rebbe Elazar is as follows. Mor Sover Yesh Ha'adol Tsuros. Rebbe Elazar would hold that Tsuros becomes Muad, can transform from a half payment to a full payment. Umor Sover Ein Ha'adol Tsuros. And the Tanakama holds that that kind of transformation has no relevance to Tsuros. But as we saw in Rashi, either way you look at things, the Chatzi Nezik of Tsuros, even when it is normal, will be Mi Gufo. And the reference to normalcy is found in the word on the second line, third word, Da'ayayed. The Gemara now has a rejection, and you'll notice this is a long rejection. Before continuing in the Gemara itself, we have a starred note in the margin. Then it reads as follows: Nira lefias daiti. In my humble opinion, it appears al pi toisus dibur maschil ela v'toisus dibur maschil bain. The two Toshisin that you see the first and second Tosis on our page. Shebeshuros Elu, Hamasumonois, with this long Dalet Dechia marking, within these rows of the Gemara, HaGemara Doiche Es Hanisoyon Lipshoy Shelas Rava. The Gemara is going to reject the attempt to answer Rava's question. Im Chatzi Nezek Mishtan Migufo Umino Aliyah. Rava's original question regarding the Chatzi Nezek of Tsuros, does it pay from the based on the animal's value or from the personals, for the offender's personal holdings? And the attempt to conclude his question, midivrei Chachom and Rebbe Lozer, from the machlokis that we saw between the Chachom and Rebbe Lozer. Habosis l'tchia, the basis of this rejection, who sherov shoal sheloso liba the Chachomim. This is a point that we made at the very outset of the Gemara, in our starred note on the side in the margin of Omid Aleph, where we said that we're going to point out something that may appear to be obvious, and that is that Rava's question was within the opinion of the Chachomim, the pligi asumchas, that argue on sumchas, sumchas holding that Tsuros pays full damages. And that with this rejection in mind, we're going to be telling you that the machlokes Chachomin and Rebbe Lozer is in fact based on sumchis. It's not a question, it's not a machlokes within the opinion of the Rabbanan. So that our original question had been Chatzi Nezek Tsuros, according to the Rabbanan, how is payment made? But once you tell me that the machlokes, the other machlokes Tanoim, from which we try to resolve that question, i.e., the machlokes between the Chachomin and Rebbe Lozer, is not a machlokes within the Chachomim, but rather it's a Tanaic disagreement within the opinion of Sumchas, we no longer have a basis for concluding Rava's question. Toich kedei hadechia, in the course of this rejection, toich kedei hadechia hazois mitpateach oid mahalach, that then it results in the development of another mahalach, another sequence of arguments, of discussions, Shemesumon, that will be marked with these triangles and that appear in alternating directions, Shuhu Ma'akav Achare Divrei Rava, which will be an attempt to keep track of Rava. But at that point in the Gemara, we will simply will be following from the initial rejection of trying to resolve Rava's original question, which we had opened up today's shir with, marked with the diamond, trying to figure out the Chatzi Nezek Tsuros according to the Rabbanan, how is payment made. So now we turn back to the Gemara, fourth line from the top, the beginning of that rejecting, concluding the question based on the introduction of the Machlokas, the other Machlokas Tanoim, Tanakamo and Rebbe Lozer. The Gemara. Elaha de boy Rava, on another occasion, Rava had asked a question, had raised a question. Yesh hadol etzros or ein hadol etzros? Does repeated tzros result in it becoming mu'ad or not? And when you say it becoming muad, you're making a reference to, would it pay full damages or remain its standard half damage? Now that's a question that Rava on another occasion raised. Well, Ila Rabbonon, if our analysis up till this point had been correct, then you would simply say, well, according to the Rabbanan, ein hadol tzuros, there would be no hadol. The Rabbanan holding that repeated tzuros continues paying half damages. Ila Rebbe Lozer, yesh hadol tzuros. If you would be following the opinion of Rebbe Lozer, so tzuros would become what? Well, Rava would not have needed to raise the question if our analysis above was accurate. The answer to this particular question would be, well, it's a machlokas tanoim, it's a straightforward machlokas Rabbanon versus Reb Elazar. But Rava did raise the question. Omar Loch Rava. Rava will tell you, ki miboyali ledidi, when I asked the question of is there hadol litzrus or not, aliba de rabbona de pligi ole de sumchus. My question was within the opinion of the rabbonan who argue with sumchus. Avol hocha, but here, with regard to the source that we introduced at the bottom of Amud Aleph, the Machlokes, Rebbe Lozar and the Chachomim, Aval Hocha Bein the Rabbonon, Bein the Rebbe Lozar, Kisumchus Svira Lahu. They are arguing within the opinion of Sumchus Yomar Tzruos Nezek Shalim Mishalim, that Tzruos pays full damages. Well, if Tzuros pays full damages, then why would the Chachomim who argue on Rebbe Lozar, why would they say that only half damage is paid? The Taimo Mai Omer Rabbonon Chatzi Nezek. Why would the Rabbonon who argue with Rebbe Lozar say that only half damage is made? The Shani Vloi Ayid. It's a case where the Tzuros was done in an unusual fashion and it had not been repeated three times. Ubiplukta de Rabbi Tarfin Vrabbonon Kamifligi. And that machlokis on Omen Aleph, the machlokis between Rabbi Lozar and Chachomim, was a machlokis that parallels a different machlokis. When you're dealing with Shani, with something that's different, something that's unusual, you're dealing with the realm of Keren. And the machlokis between Rabbonon and Rabbi Lozar parallels the Rabbi Tarfin and the Rabbonon that also argue about Keren in the Rishus HaNizik, the damage done by goring, the unusual form of damage in the domain of the victim, where Rabbi Tarfin says full damage is paid, and the Rabbonon say half damage is paid. And the other Tanoim, namely Rabbi Lozar and the Chachomim, would parallel Rabbi Tarfin and the Rabbonon, where Rabbi Lozar said Nezek Shalem parallels Rabbi Tarfin, because once again, Rebbe Lozar and the Rabbonon on Omen Aleph were dealing with the unusual case of Tzuros, and Nezek Shalem would be like Rebbe Tarfin, and the Rabbonon who argue with Rebbe Lozar, parallel of the Rabbonon who argue with Rebbe Tarfin, who speak in terms of Chatzi Nezek. We emphasize then, just at this point, this is the we'll say the mainstay of the rejection has just been introduced. That's why we have our long marking going till this point, showing that the Tanoim that we thought would be our source of resolving Rava's original question, namely the Chachomim and the Rabbonin and Rebbe Lozar, in fact have nothing to do with Rava's original question, which dealt with a case of regular tzuros, where you pay half damage. Do you pay min gufo or min aliyah? Once you tell me that the Rabbonon and Rebbe Lozar are arguing about a case of shani, a strange form of damage, the unusual, that has nothing to do with Rava's original question with which we opened up today's shiur. The Gemara, though, asks on this last point that the Rabbonon and Rebbe Lozar parallel Rabbi Tarfin and the Rabbonon that argue on Rabbi Tarfin, Amor b'dishamis lay the Rabbi Tarfin nezek sholem. I agree that Rabbi Tarfin holds that Karen, the unusual form of damage in the Rishus HaNizik, pays full damages, but migufo mishamis lay. Did we ever hear Rabbi Tarfin say that full damage is made migufo? That's what Rebbe Lozar's opinion had been, that the Nezek Shalom is Migufo, and you want to parallel him to Rebbe Tarfin, but is Rebbe Tarfin on record as saying Migufo? The Gemara says, in. Yes. Mehecha Maisi Law. From where does Rebbe Tarfin derive Nezek Shalom in the Rishus HaNizik? Mikeren Mirishus HaRabim. He derives it from Karen in a public thoroughfare. Karen, the unusual damage in a public thoroughfare, pays migufo. Dayo labo min adin lios kanidon. So there is the that which is derived from it, namely tsuros b'shinui, the unusual form of tsuros, cannot be any more stringent than the source, namely Karen in a public thoroughfare. Karen in a public thoroughfare pays migufo. Therefore, that which is derived from it will pay migufo. The Gemara asks, "Vaha Rabbi Tarfon lesle dayo." Rabbi Tarfon, though, is not bound by that, by this principle that we made reference to dayo, that dayo means let it suffice, that the derivative is no greater than the source. But Rabbi Tarfon doesn't hold by that, let's say, restriction in logical thinking. And how do we know that? How do we know that Rabbi Tarfon is not bound by that, let's say, form of logic, that the derivative cannot be any greater than the source? Very simply, what's Rabbi Tarfon's opinion regarding Karen, the unusual form of damage in the domain of the Nizik? He says you pay full damage. If he is deriving that from Karen in a public thoroughfare, but Karen in a public thoroughfare pays only half damage. So you see that Rabbi Tarfon will derive derivative information going beyond, in stringency terms, going beyond the original source of information. So once I demonstrate that Rabbi Tarfon is not bound by Dayo, I don't see why Rabbi Tarfon is bound by Migufo either. So once again, what would Rebbe Lozer's opinion be based on? Rebbe Lozer, who said on Omen Aleph, Nezek Shalei Migufo. The Gemara says that is really no objection. Ki les le Dayo. When is it that Rabbi Tarfon is not bound by the dayo concept, that the derivative cannot be any more stringent than the original? That is true. Hecho de mafrich kal v'chomer. That's where we would find the kal v'chomer logic to have no relevance. Namely, all the information that I derive would already have been accounted for by a verse. In a situation that I have, let's say, the ability to make a kal v'chomer, and the information from that kal v'chomer is already accounted for by a verse, Rabbi Tarfon says, then I have a right to extend the kal v'chomer beyond the original topic. However, hecha delo mafrich kal v'chomer, however, where the information derived from the kal v'chomer is not based on a pasuk, and hence the kal v'chomer is necessary for deriving the information that in fact is no greater, no more stringent than the original point, the, we'll say, the jumping off point. Islay Dayo, then Rabbi Tarfon as well holds by Dayo, holds that the derived information cannot be any more stringent than the original point. And how does that manifest itself in our topic? Over here, the law that's being derived through the kal v'chomer is the din of migufo. The din of migufo is not that the keren b'rshus hanizik will be a payment made migufo is not information that I could have accounted for by a pasuk. Therefore, just like Karen in Rishus HaRabim pays migufo, And Rabbi Tarfon uses a kal v'chomer to derive keren in Rishus HaNizik, paying nezek shalem, but that nezek shalem will be limited to a payment migufo. Hence, we are able to base Rebbe Lozer from Omen Aleph on Rabbi Tarfon. And just to repeat the main point, this is called the main point of rejection, is that the Machlokas Rebbe Lozer and the Chachomim that we saw in Omen Aleph are dealing with a case of Tsruros that resulted from Shinui. And there was no issue of it becoming Muad. And the machlokes simply paralleled the machlokes Rabbi Tarfon and the Chachomim regarding Keren in a Rishus HaYochid. Rava's original question, with which we opened up today's shiur, dealt with a case of Tsuros Kedarko, normal Tsuros. And hence, we cannot resolve Rava's original question from the machlokes Rabbi Lozer and the Chachomim. We continue with our series of questions, as indicated by diamond number 3. The Gemara opens with Gufa, boy Rava, very simply because this question is something that was dealt with in the discussion that we just concluded. On the side, we have a Nosei topic heading which reads, She'elas Rava, Rava's question, Yesh ha'ado l'tsuros o lo. Tsuros, repeated 3 times, does that result in a muad status? Now, a muad status with regard to tsuros would manifest itself in full payment, whereas a standard tsuros pays half damages, according to the opinion of the Chachomim. What happens when the tsuros type damage is repeated 3 times? So we continue with the Gemara. Gufa, boy, Rava, yesh ha'adol l'tsuros o ein ha'adol l'tsuros. And now the analysis of the question is, Aleph, l'keren medaminon le, oidilma beis, do we compare tsuros to keren, to the damage of keren goring, which starts off as paying half damage, similar to tsuros, and if repeated 3 times, eventually then pays full damage. Odilma told it to care the regulu, or is tsuros viewed simply as a derivative of regel, and the payment of chatzi nezik is its ha'adol status. It doesn't have any further ha'adol, just like standard regel, when repeated several times, doesn't. The payment made for regel doesn't change, regel being damage caused by normal walking. So tsuros does not change, doesn't change from its initial half payment. In our margin, under the Nosei / Mivneh heading, you see a house form, a house shape, introducing or highlighting Toshma. These are Nisyonis Lufshot Shelas Rava. These house markings that you see as you skim along in the Gemara, each time we're attempting to answer Rava's question. Haim yesh hadol tsuros o lo? Does tsuros become muad or not? Klomar, kamo yesh l'shalem al tsuros kedarku sheziko shloish pamim. How much does one have to pay for the tsuros form of damage done normally, repeated 3 times? Now the Gemara. Toshma. We're quoting a source that we've already quoted several times in the past. Hidus eino muad. V'yeshomim harei ze muad. Hidus, the dancing, the jumping around of a chicken. The first opinion says it's not muad. And the second opinion, the yeshomim, says it is muad. So we ask, Hidus salka daitoch, could you possibly be referring to the standard behavior of a chicken as jumping around? That is very normal for chickens. So why would the Tanakama describe it as eino muad, as not being regular or normal? Elo hidus vehitiz. Rather, the source is referring to a case where the chicken was jumping around and pebbles were cast forth as a result. My love, is it not so, kigon de ovad tlosa zimni, that in this source we're describing it having repeated the chicken jumping and pebbles cast down and damaging three times. Ubahal kumifli, and the basis of their machlokis, the Tanakamo and the Yesh Omrim, is as follows. Yesh mor sovar yesh hada, the Yesh Omrim, the second opinion, holds that it becomes muad, and hence it would pay full damages. Umor sovar ein hada, and the Tanakamo, the first opinion, says no, it remains, even after many times, remains half damage. The Gemara says, no, it rejects that. It says, lo, bechad zimna. The source is describing the damage after having occurred only once. And then, what is the basis of the machlokes? Ubeplukta de sumchus v'rabonon kamifligi. And the machlokes parallels the machlokes between sumchus and the rabonon. The first opinion saying Einum Wood is the opinion of the Rabbonon that only half damage is paid, and Sumchus holds even after the first time a Tsuros damage occurs, full payment is made. That's the Yesh Omrim who said Arei Zeh Muad. You'll notice we have additional notes on the side regarding our markings. The dashed underline, this diagonal dash underline, is going to highlight the expression kigoin de ovad tlosa zimni, where the Gemara repeats this idea that it happened three times, and that would be the attempt to resolve our question of is there hadol tzuros or not. And the double underline dechios represents rejections, lo b'chad zimno, that whatever we are featuring only happened once, and that has no relevance then to Rova's question. So let's continue with the next house marking. Toshma behemo sheitilo glolim leisa. Here you have a machlokes, but it's an Amoraic machlokes. It describes a behemo, a cow, that cast forth its feces. And the casting forth of its glolim, of its feces, is like tsuros. And it cast it forth into isa, into dough, ruining the dough. Rav Yehuda Omer, Mishalei Nezek Shalem, full damage must be paid. Rav Elazar Omer, Chatzi Nezek. And Rav Elazar holds only half damage is paid. And as we said, we're describing a case of Tzuros. My lav kigon da ovet tlosa zimni. Is it not so that it was repeated three times? Ubahal kamifligi. And their machlokes is as follows. Mor sovar yesh hada. Rav Yehuda said full damage is paid is because it metamorphosizes from a half payment into a full payment. Umor sovar ein hada. And Rav Elazar, who said half payment, is of the opinion that it doesn't become mu'ad. It never results in, even after multiple times, it does not result in full damage. And hence, Rava's question would be essentially a machlokes. No, the Gemara says that's not the analysis of Rav Yehuda and Rav Elazar. Bechad zimna, the case of the behemo shetilu glolim, the animal releasing its feces into the dough, happened only once. Ubeplukta the sumchus rabono kamifagi. And the Amoroyim that you see arguing, Rav Yehuda and Rav Elazar, are taking sides in the Tanaic controversy between sumchus, who holds tsurus after one time pays full damage, that would be the opinion of Rav Yehuda, and the rabbonon would be reflected by the opinion of Rav Elazar, half damage. Question. Theha mishune hu. The case of glolim, of casting feces into dough, is something unusual. It wouldn't be accurate to describe it as the machlokes, sumchus, and rabbanon who were dealing with a normal case of tsuros. The Gemara says, no, the case of the dough is actually normal. The dochik le alma. The animal was found in a very tight position. It couldn't move. It had to release its feces. And as such, it's a case of something usual. But once again, we're not dealing with a case of tsuros repeated three times. Question. Falema Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said full payment is made. Why doesn't he simply say halacha kesumchas, that the halacha is like sumchas that says nezek shalim is the payment, full payment, full damage payment is made in the case of tsuros falema Rebbe Lazar halacha kerabbanan, and let the Amora Rebbe Lazar, who said half payment is made, hold like the rabbanan. Why didn't they simply speak in, we'll say, standard Amoraic form, where an Amora rules like a Tana, without the need for detailing the case of feces released into dough? The Gemara says, "Glolim itzdirichaleg." It was necessary for them to specify the case and its legal outcome. Why was it necessary to spell it out? Because of the following thought. Salka daita chamina. I would have thought, hayol ubasur gufei gririn ke gufei dami. Since the dung or the feces are emitted from the animal's body, it would be viewed as the animal doing bodily damage. And an animal doing bodily damage, everyone would agree, would have to pay full damages. Rashi, the second line from the very bottom, says, "Ubasa gufa griran, the begufa tuanalahu." The feces were developed and carried in the animal's body. Kegufa damion, their release is like the animal itself. So the Gemara continues and says, "Komash malon." We are hereby informed that it's not viewed as the animal doing bodily damage, but rather it falls under the context of tsuros, which is essentially force emitted by the animal causing damage somewhere else. Ta shma. We continue then with trying to resolve Rava's question. What about tsuros repeated three times according to the Rabbonan? Detani Rami Bar Yeches, who were using this crown shape for the purpose of highlighting particular names. So here you have Rami Bar Yeches featuring a source. Tarnagol Shehoshit Roshoy La'avir Kli Zechuchas. A chicken stretched its head into a glass vessel. Vitoka bo, and the chicken cackled. Vishibro, and as a result of its cackling and its decibel level, or let's say pitch that the cackling reached, the glass shattered. I'm sure that many of you are thinking that this chicken is some type of up and coming opera star. Whether that be the case or not, the fact is that the glass shattered as a result of the chicken's sounds. Mishalem nezek shalem. Full damages are paid. The Omer of Yosef, Amri Bei Rav, and Rav Yosef quotes the opinion of Amri Bei Rav, Sus shetzona v'chamor shenar v'shiber sakelim, a horse that whinnied, a donkey that brayed, and as a result of the pitch, the noise, vessels broke. Mishalem chatzi nezek. Half payment is made. You have then these two opinions. Rami Bar Yecheskel quoting a source that says that sound resulting in breaking pays full damages, and the Amri Beirav speaking about something of a similar nature, saying that the resultant damage payment is half damages. And Rashi points out, I'm sure that which is probably obvious to some of you, that we're describing tsuros. These are damages caused by the animal's emitting of a sound, but not a bodily damage caused directly by the animal itself. So you have tsuros described, two opinions, one saying full damage, the other just saying half damage. My lav could go into Ovat Losa Zimni. Again, I hope everyone is noticing the dashed underlining. Each time this dashed underlining appears, we're trying to answer our question. We're emphasizing that here we have the very circumstances that Rava was asking about. A repeat active source three times. We continue at the top of Daf Yud Tes. Ubeha komiflegi, and the basis of the machlokis is as follows. Mor sovar yesh hada. The source quoted by Romi Bar Yecheskel would suggest by saying nezek sholem that tsuros becomes muad. Umor sovar, the opinion of the Amri Bey Rav would say ein hada, that even though the tsuros was repeated multiple times, it does not result in full damage. Lo bechad zimno, the situations described were only a one-time occurrence. Ubeplukta de sunchus v'rabonon kamiflegi, and they parallel the earlier Tanaic disagreement between sunchus, who says tsuros on a one-time occasion pays full damage, and the rabbonon saying half damage. Question: v'hom mishunehu, but the case of the chicken was sticking its head into a vessel, is that not something unusual? And Sumas and the Rabbanan were dealing with regular truas, not something unusual. The Gemara says, it is usual. The Is Bei Bazrani, within that vessel, there were seeds. Seeds are chicken feed that attracted the chicken. It's normal for chickens to stick their heads into vessels in order to reach food that's designed for them. So, once again, we have a question that's left unresolved, being that the machlokas between Rami Bar Yecheskel and the Amri Bei Rav, they're arguing concerning a one-time tsuros, paralleling the machlokas Sumchus and Rabbonan, and not a repeat act of tsuros within the shita of the Rabbonan. Boy Rav Ashi. On the side of the Gemara, we introduce this under our nosei, our topic heading, She'elos Rav Ashi. We'll see questions introduced by Rav Ashi here, and which is the fourth in our series of questions, and number five also. The next diamond is also a Rav Ashi question. Number one, Yesh Shinui Lutsuros L'Revia Nezek Olo. What is, this is Rav Ashi's question, it's a point that we've touched on in the past in our Gemara. What happens when the tsuros happens in an unusual fashion? Does that knock it down to a quarter of the damage, working with the assumption that the standard payment for tsuros when done in a normal way is half damage? We find by Karen, for example, that Karen goring, when unusual, instead of paying full damage, it pays half damage. So do we say that by tsuros there is a concept of shinui that applies that would knock it down to revi, a quarter of the full damage value? Or do we say that even though it happened in an unusual fashion, it remains chatzi nezek? A second issue raised by Rav Ashi in the diamond number five, Kayach Koychei L'Sumchus. Sumchus has the opinion that we've already mentioned a few times today in our shiur, that tsuros pays full damage. What is tsuros? It's damage as a result of a force emitted by the animal. What about Kayach Koychei? The force emitted by the animal resulted in a secondary force that in turn resulted in subsequent damage. So the issue of a secondary force, according to Sumchus, Haim Yishalim Elov Chatzi Nezek, would in this case Sumchus agree that half damage payment is made Mishum the Alzeh Gomir Halocha L'Moshe Misini D'Chatzi Nezek Atzuros. Regarding this, Sumchus will acknowledge that the oral tradition concerning half payment for Tzuros damage is applicable in this case of Koyach Koychei. Oy Lesle Halocha Zuklau. Or maybe he has no oral tradition regarding a half payment for Tzuros related damage, even if it happens to be a case of koyach koychoi, derivative, a derivative force. Now the Gemara. Boy Ravashi, the first of the questions Ravashi raises that we've labeled as diamonds number 4, and then the second question will be diamond number 5, 4 lines from the top. Boy Ravashi, yesh shinui l'tsuros l'revia nezek o ein shinui l'tsuros l'revia nezek. Let us say the animal behaves in an unusual fashion. It did a kicking action, as opposed to a standard walking action. It did a kicking action, and as a result of its kicking, it cast forth tsuros, pebbles that rendered damage. Since the exertion of force was originated in something that's low kedarka, that's unusual, that's shinui, does that reflect upon the payment scale? Namely, only, well, we'll say half of the normal payment. And what's the normal payment? Chatzi nezek. So what's half of chatzi? Chatzi means half payment. Half of that is a quarter of the value of the entire damage. Do we say such a thing in the case of tsuros that results from shinui or not? Let's read the words again. Yesh shinui l'tsuros l'revia nezek, o ein shinui l'tsuros l'revia nezek. The Gemara responds, Tifshot lei midarova. Tifshot, let us conclude, let us answer the question from Rava, based on Rava. Deboi Rava. Rava had asked, and this is what we saw earlier, Yesh hadol l'tsuros, o ein hadol l'tsuros. Does tsuros become mu'ad or not? So all that can seem to concern Rava is, does repeat tsuros become mu'ad? Michlal, one could infer from that the ein shinui, that there is no shinui, that tsuros doesn't go down less than half payment. Rashi across from here says michlal the ein shinui, dehi yei shinui l'revia, if there is such a thing as quarter damage, havi chatzi nezek ladosan, then half damage would be the payment necessary for it becoming mu'ad, for metamorphosizing from a state of the unusual into the usual, so that the usual, the mu'ad, would be half damage. V'amai itzrichli l'rova l'mivi. Why did Rava have to ask his question of is there hadol l'tsuros or not? V'adai ein hadol l'shalei nezek sholem. Certainly, there is no ha'adah to result in full damage. Da tamus revia nezek. The tamus, the unusual, is a quarter. Va'adah chatzi nezek. The hadah, the normal, would then be half damage. And yet, Rava did ask his question. So, from the fact that Rava asked his question, does tsuros become mu'ad or not? It must be that there could be no, and when, by asking that, where Rava is suggesting, does tsuros end up paying full damage? That indicates that that it can't pay less than half damage. The Gemara, though, rejects that and says, Dilma Rava im timtsaloma koma. Maybe Rava, in raising his question, is raising it in the im timtsalomar format, as follows. In Timtsalomar Ein Shinui, if you were to conclude Rav Ashi's question by saying that there is no Shinui, that Tsuros never falls below half payment, then I would continue to ask, Yesh Hador, O Ein Hador, what is the law regarding Tsuros repeated 3 times? Does it result in full damage or not? Teiku. And this remains unresolved. Boy Ravashi, koyach koychoi l'sumchus ke koychoi dami oy loy. Koach kocho, secondary force according to sumchus. Does it? Is it viewed as initial force? What's sumchus's opinion with regard to initial force related damage? Pebbles cast up by the animal as it walks along. Those pebbles coming forth, coming from underfoot is koyach, is an initial force. Sumcha says you pay full damage. What about if after those pebbles cause damage, something was ejected from the scene of the damage, causing further damage? That would be koyach koychoi. What does Sumchas have to say about that? Is that also going to be a full damage payment, or possibly not, maybe half damage? And the analysis of his question is as follows. Mi gomir halacha, does Sumchas have an oral tradition regarding sruros that it would pay half damage? Umuki la b'koyach koychoi. And he would say that that oral tradition concerning chatzi nezek applies to this case of koyach koychoi, oidilma, or possibly lo gomir halacha klal. Sumchas has no oral tradition. He never received from his predecessors any reference to chatzi nezek by tzuros. Teku, this remains unresolved. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.